This is The State of Things. I'm Frank Stachow. Last year, the gospel quartet, the Sensational Nightingales, were inducted into the North Carolina Music Hall of Fame. Their big hit is called It's Gonna Rain, spent 100 weeks on Billboard's gospel charts back in the 1970s.
It's gonna rain, you better get ready, and bear this in mind, God showed Noah the rainbow sign.
The Sensational Nightingales with their hit It's Gonna Rain, a song that was written by Charles Johnson. The Durham-based group has had many members since its inception, but for more than two decades, Charles Johnson was the lead singer, songwriter, and guitarist. Joseph Johnson Ham will be talking about his father at the Stafford L. Warren Library in Durham this Sunday. But first, he joins me in the studio. Joseph, welcome to the State of Things.
Oh, thank you.
It's a great, now this band, we've talked about the Sensational Nightingales, kind of a Durham-based, but certainly North Carolina-based group. Your dad is part of the group and certainly an important part of their success, not from Durham, right? Tell us about his beginnings.
Well, he was born in Parrish, Texas in 1931, April 12th of 1931. His mother's name was Mamie Johnson, and his grandmother's name was Anna Johnson, which his grandmother, Anna Johnson, was a big influence in his life. And one thing she told him, she said, there are three categories of people in life: those who ask what happened, those who watch it happen, and those that make it happen.
And he made it happen by leaving.
He made it happen because that was his dream. Wow. He wanted to be a gospel singer, and he did that. And according to the words, a man's gift will make room for him and set him before a great man. And that's what happened. He went on to be a rancher in Texas, where he was taking care of the horses, and he trained the horses. Uh-huh. And he went on also in the 1950s, he moved to California, and he joined a group called the Consolators. And that was his first professional group in the 1950s. And then he joined 1961, the Sensational Nightingales. He became their lead singer. Judas Cheek, he was the lead singer, and he had talked with my dad about coming on with the Nightingales, and that was one of his other dreams of becoming a singer with the Nightingales.
Because that was a big group in the gospel circuit by then, right?
Yes.
They were really well known, had that huge hit a little later on, and your father was writing some of their music, right?
Yes, sir. He wrote, he was the lead singer and also the songwriter for the Sensational Nightingales.
A great story about how he got married and actually met your mother in Durham, right?
Oh, yes, right here in this area, downtown area. Well, the hotel was the Biltmore Hotel, and it was a barbershop now at the time. And my mother was bringing us to the barbershop and get a haircut. He was here at a concert, and he asked the barber, said, would you introduced me to this lady.
What was that lady doing in the barbershop?
Well, she was the barber. The lady was the barber.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Okay.
He was there to get his hair cut.
See.
And he wanted to introduce him to her.
Yeah.
And she did, and he offered to give her a ticket to come to his concert that night. She didn't receive it then. But he came back to another concert some years later, and he saw her in the audience. And he, after the concert, he went and introduced himself again, and that's how it all started in the late 60s, and they married in the 70s.
Talk about only having eyes for you. Years later, remembers the lady in the barbershop seeing her in the audience.
Oh, yes.
And they got married. And so that really anchors him. I mean, not only was the band based or the group based here, but then now he's married and starts living. I mean, this becomes his base, right?
Yes.
Traveled around a lot.
Yes, sir.
On the road. And in fact, there's a great story about a song that he wrote based on his sort of the grief and sorrow that there is being on the road, right?
Yes.
Let's play a little clip from that, because I know that life was not easy, and particularly for African-Americans, finding a hotel at that time on the circuit, if you're traveling in the South, was pretty difficult. I want to play a little bit from the song and then talk more about that. The song is We Cannot Stand Alone.
From time to time, when I feel depressed, and it seems for me that is no rest. Oh, I take my all and all, and to Jesus I go. He's a wonderful friend who steps right in just when I need him the most, because we cannot stand alone. We cannot stand alone. No matter how hard we try, we can't make it on our own. One more thing.
That's Charles Johnson with the Revivers, and that recording, We Cannot Stand Alone. We're talking with his son, Joseph John Hamm, who's going to be at the Stafford L. Warren Library in Durham this Sunday, May 13th, talking about his father's legacy. Talk more about that. First of all, life on the road, he was going a lot when you were growing up, right?
Yes. Well, he was on the road. He was home 2 or 3 days out the week. But during that time, you know, they was called like vagabonds, which means they traveled from city to city, and they had to find a place to lay their head to sleep. Sometimes they'd sleep in people's homes, they'd sleep in cars. But they had what you call a gospel highway. And the gospel highway, you had people there that would tell them where places are, where they could stay or where they could eat. And that really, that was part of, you know, part of, you cannot stand alone, because you had to, it was like a walk of faith, you know. And
I mean,
you know,
the fact is, it was dangerous for black people to be traveling the South. So having these guides tell you where to, because you're going into strange states and strange counties and that sort of thing.
Yes.
And so this is part of that. And so tell me more about the song now. Yeah.
Well, that was part of it, but I'm going to say we cannot stand alone, because you need, the part of it was like, you know, you need that strength. You need the only person that he could really depend on at the time was the Lord. And that's why he said, I cannot stand alone, you know. And that was really important part of his life, because as he traveled, you know, from day to day, and like I said, I mean, 2 days out of the week he is at home. And we used to travel with him during the summertime. We used to travel with him, and I would sell the records. So I would go that out, you know, sell them, it's going to rain, see you in the rapture. I wanted to be at the meeting, and that was...
what was it like to be with his fans? Well, how did they react to the group and your father?
Well, they were really, you know, at a lot of the meetings, they were excited. You know, they, and it seemed like, you know, because the Nightingale, they were a group that, well, they emphasized the words of songs and the meanings of songs. You could it wasn't all about the music. It was about the meaning of the songs. And when my uncle and I, we was the same age, we would travel with him. You know, we would think that we was part of the Nightingales. We would want people to think, you know, we were part of the Nightingales, you know, and that made us feel real good. You know?
And this was mainstream, you know, traditional gospel. And I know there's a split, because once it crosses over and becomes commercial, you know, there can be some fights breaking out in the household. Right?
Well, see, that's, you know, and I don't know if we're going to talk about it, but, you know, he had a crossroad where he crossed over from traditional gospel to Southern gospel. And that was a big change, because when he went to Southern gospel, a lot of the traditional gospel fans, you know, they were kind of questioning, you know, why. You know, but one thing my dad said that was really important, he said, well, I didn't know that the gospel was of color. You know, he said God had called him to move on, and that's what he did. And I'm thankful for Mr. Joseph Wallace, because in the book on the Sensation Nightingales, he expressed that point where when my dad had left the Nightingales, you know, he felt that God was leading him to go into another era. And that's what my dad, you know, he said, you know, that God had led him, you know, to go to a different, you know, setting, because, you know.
What was the difference between traditional and Southern gospel?
Well, the Southern gospel was more more like, you know, it was, well, in the sense of, you know, most Caucasians.
No, oh, okay, yeah.
So the audience, its audience had really changed, but the words of the song were the same.
And wasn't there also a little rift between those who would, so when Sam Cooke, for instance,
right,
crossed over into commercial, was that the same thing as Southern? Because that was another fight, whether or not it belonged only in the church,
right,
or whether it should be sold as a commercial song.
Right. My dad and Sam Cooke, they were good friends. Yeah. I mean, matter of fact, my dad, the only second song he ever written, Sam Cooke asked him to write the song for him. And my dad was delivering the song to him when he found out that he had been killed.
What happened to the song?
I was called by someone in New York City, asked me about the song, and I've been looking for it. I couldn't find it.
Whoa.
But that's in the book, Another River to Cross. My dad discusses that in that book. But he didn't ever say where he put the song. But he said he never published it because, you know, when Sam Cooke found out he had passed, he just, no, that was the end of it.
Another River to Cross is his biography, autobiography. He wrote that.
Well, we had Savannah Saunders.
Oh yeah,
and it was actually Savannah Saunders and Doctor.
But it was co-written. So that is the
right
title. While you're looking for that, Another River to Cross would be the story of his life.
Yes.
Yeah. And, well, actually, we've got that is also the title of a song. We can play a little clip from that and give you a sense of what that sounded like.
I've got another river to cross. Yes, I have. Before I can reach my heavenly home. Oh, yes, I know Jesus promised to me.
Another River to Cross, Charles Johnson and the Revivers. We're talking to Joseph Johnson Hamm, who's going to be talking at the Stafford L. Warren Library in Durham on Sunday, May 13th, about his father's legacy. And the legacy continues, right, with a grandson.
Oh, yes, Joshua Hamm. He was, well, they had Apollo here in Durham, the auditions, and they had, for a season, they had performances here and where they perform, and whoever won would get to go to New York City to audition for the Apollo in New York City. So he won here, went to New York, and he auditioned. They called him back in 2014, and he went there and he won. He became the child star of tomorrow.
Is it your son?
That's my son.
Let's listen.
You're my—
Fourteen-year-old Joshua Hamm, and I'm talking with a proud father right here. Joshua, at his appearance in 2015, he was 14 at the time, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, and that was in 2015 at the Apollo. And I'm talking with his dad, Joseph Johnson Hamm, who is going to be at the Stafford L. Warren Library in Durham, talking about his father. So what's it like to you to be in the middle of this amazing musical legacy?
Well, I knew that I knew my kids had a gift, and like my dad talked with Joshua before he went to Apollo, encouraging him. You know, he was just telling him about the wars and stuff that when you're dealing with gospel as well as secular music, you know, that, you know, you have to beware of he made the quote, "Beware of the wolves," you know, because, you know, a lot of times, you know, in that set, when you get into the gospel or secular music, sometimes you can run into situations that, you know, they might try to use you until they, you know, until you, till they finished up.
Yeah, until they take every one of your last nickels. Well, what about you? Do you skip a generation? Are you a singer? Do you sing?
Well, I sing a little bit, and I write, but I do my writing and singing privately. You know, I haven't put anything out, and maybe one day I will. You know, but I'm right now. I'm just sitting back. I might be sitting on my gift, but I believe one day I'm gonna be able to really, because what I want to do is put my dad's music out, because of the words and the meanings of the words. And I sit back and I listen to them as the years went on. I listen to the words and I see his heart. I mean, I see the times when my mother, when she became sick, and I seen the way he sat for, you know, a man that was on the road for all those years, and all of a sudden stopped. And I know he told us, he said, well, look, I'll die singing on the road. But when she became sick, this woman took care of everything for him. When he came home, she packed his bag. She gave his food, He brought the money home to her, and she gave him money to spend when he went out on the road. So when the experience was, when she went in and had an operation, it happened so suddenly, because he was coming from a concert in Georgia. And when he came and the doctors told him that she would be incompetent, he went cold turkey. Did not step foot on another stage at 80.
Wow.
80 years old.
And stayed home to take care of her.
He said, well, I had to take care of my wife.
Joseph Johnson Hamm, the son of gospel singer and songwriter and guitarist Charles Johnson of the Sensational Nightingales. Joseph, amazing story. Thank you so much for sharing it.
Thank you.
Joseph is going to be at the Stafford L. Warren Library in Durham on Sunday, sharing the life and legacy of his father, Charles. And you can find out more at our website, stateofthings.org. North Carolina Public Radio is a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stachow.